إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يقول شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد باب الشفاعة، وقول الله تعالى في سورة الأنعام: وأنذر به الذين يخافون أن يحشروا إلى ربهم ليس لهم من دونه ولي ولا شفيع. I welcome all of you, our classes of Kitab al-Tawheed. من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد, the summarized and concise explanation on Kitab al-Tawheed by our beloved Sheikh الدكتور الوالد صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين وللمتكلم والسامعين. In chapter number 17, باب الشفاعة, we're going to learn about intercession. Al-Shafa'atu, intercession. And then the Shaykh, as you know, Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he brings ayat and ahadith. That's Kitab al-Tawheed. He brings ayat and ahadith. The first ayah in Surah Al-An'am. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنذِرْ بِهِ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَن يُحْشَرُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ مِن دُونِهِ وَلِيٌّ وَلَا شَفِيعٌ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. And warn therewith those who fear that they will be gathered before their Lord when there will neither be a protector nor an intercessor. An intercessor for them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides Him, so that they may fear Allah and keep their duty to Him. Sheikh Al-Walid, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, as you know by now, that his way is that he brings Munasabatul Babi li Kitab al-Tawheed. First of all, in a new chapter, when there is a new chapter, the Shaykh, he will bring the reason why this chapter is in this book. What is the connection that this chapter has with this book? That's very important to know. قال مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد أنه لما كان المشركون يبررون ما هم عليه من الشرك من دعاء الملائكة والأنبياء والأولياء ويقولون نحن نعلم أنهم مخلوقون ولكنهم لهم جاه عند الله فنحن نريد منهم أن يشفعوا لنا عند الله. أراد المصنف رحمه الله بهذا الباب إقامة الحجج على أن ذلك هو عين الشرك الذي نهى الله عنه وأبطل كل وسيلة تؤدي إليه. Remember in the previous chapters, the Shaykh, he many chapters about shirk and some types of shirk. And the Shaykh is going to bring a lot, whole, more. So in here, this is another refutation against the polytheists. He says, the mushriks, the polytheists, who they fall into shirk by them worshipping others beside Allah, by devoting actions of worship for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look what they say. They try to justify that shirk. Instead to leave it alone altogether and stick to the tawheed, they try to justify it, that which they are upon from shirk, by them calling upon angels. That's shirk. You can't call upon angels. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ دُعُونِي Allah says, call upon me. We don't call upon angels. The mushrikeen who call upon prophets. There are some people who pray and they say, Ya Nabi Allah, O Prophet of Allah. They call upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are those who call upon awliya. In some Muslim countries, that you find people, they go to the graves of some dead people, and they call them, call upon them. Oh, cure my mother. I've been married for 10 years, don't have no children. Oh, so and so, please give me children. No, you go to a dead person. So what is their justification? They say, yes, we know. See, these are the polytheists. They say, we know they are created beings. We know. We know they're human beings too. If they're calling upon human, they say, we know they're human beings and they're created by Allah, but they are not like us. They have a high rank with Allah. They have honor, high esteem. These are used to be righteous people. These are way better than us. That's why we go through them. So now, we want them to intercede on our behalf with Allah. See? So now, that's why the Shaykh now is bringing this chapter to establish the proofs, not just one, because there's many proofs the Shaykh is going to bring from the Quran. It is to establish the proofs that this is shirk. That's the shirk itself. The action they're doing, it is shirk. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So shirk is forbidden, likewise any mean that leads to it. Any mean, any way, any sabab that leads to shirk is forbidden as well. Al-Shafa'ah, intercession, the Shaykh explained it. قال هي شفع فيه أي أعانه في تحصيل مطلبه ممن هو عنده. In general, or in brief, you know, definition of Shafa'ah is that when you have the ability to help someone to get something from someone who owns it. Okay? For example, you can intercede on behalf of someone. Somebody has a degree, he's looking for a job, couldn't find a job, but however, you know the CEO over there, the person who's, or maybe the owner of the business, since you know the person, you know both of them, so you go to the owner or the CEO or the person in charge of hiring, and you say, listen, man, that's a good brother, that's a good person, inshallah, I get a degree, he can help you. That's, and you're interceding on his behalf. In our terms, what we say? Put in a word for him.
Arbitrate.
No, not arbitrate. Arbitrate is like usually between two people who have issues. This guy has no issue, he just want to get a job. So to intercede, meaning to put a word for him. Try to help him, help someone get something. Okay? المعنى الإجمالي. Now the general meaning of this ayah. Ayah? What ayah, Ikhwan? Hassan? No. What ayah, Abdullah? Ahsan, fi Surah Al-An'am. Huh? What ayah?
Yes,
Allah.
51.
Huh? It says 151. Where? In the Kitab Tawheed? That's a mistake. But in the Noble, in the Quran, it's 51.
This one has
51
as well.
Hey, 51. But in the Arabic, you have the Arabic text? Yeah, it's a mistake. Correct it. We make sure. Surah Al-An'am. نعم 51. Within Arabic text they have 151. That's a misprint. So the Sheikh here explaining now the ayah. يقول تعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم خوف بالقرآن الذين يخشون ربهم. خوف بالقرآن الذين يخشون ربهم من أصحاب القلوب الواعية الذين يتذكرون الوقوف بين يدي ربهم متخلين عن كل قريب ينصرهم وواسطة تشفع لهم عنده بغير إذنه لعلهم يعدون العدة لذلك فيعملون في هذه الدار عملا ينجيهم الله به من عذابه يوم القيامة. In this ayah, in Surah Al-An'am, ayah 51, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to use the noble Qur'an to warn those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an contains many ayahs for those who have taqwa, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the ulama, they says, who will benefit from those ayahs? The one who ponder and reflect. The one who, while reciting, have his heart and mind present, paying attention. Someone who believes that the Qur'an is for you. Allah sent this Qur'an for us. So, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are warned by the Qur'an, by the ayahs. And they keep in mind the day when they will stand before their Lord, lacking the support of any relative or any mean of intercession without Allah's permission. Yes, intercession, alhamdulillah, is established. That will, in the belief of Ahlul Aqeedah, of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, it will be intercession in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will intercede, and that's the greatest intercession. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said something else?
He said Allah.
The Prophet of Allah. But Allah will permit. But no one will intercede without Allah's permission. As we're going to see other ayats, insha'Allah ta'ala. Likewise, the Quran warns us. About a day when people they will stand in front of their Lord lacking the support of any relative or any means of intercession without Allah's permission. They may therefore be alert, these people, because you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we want to do good deeds, act righteously in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. We're going to act righteously in this life, acting upon the commands of Allah to the best of our abilities. Stay away from that which Allah has made forbidden. And make istighfar, a lot of istighfar, asking Allah for forgiveness, making tawbah, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with repentance, taking account of our actions, because we're going to be taking account on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Well, this is how we prepare ourselves for Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yarhamukallah. By being obedient to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By finding the path of righteousness and stick to it. By knowing the path of destruction and stay away from it. And keep in mind we're human, we're deficient, we're not perfect, we're wrong ourselves. We neglect some of the obligations and fall into some of the prohibitions. That's why we increase from tawbah, from istighfar, asking Allah for forgiveness and the like. This is how we prepare for that day. So by doing all good deeds in this life, in the hope that Allah will save us from the punishments of that day, the day of resurrection. مناسبة الآية للباب, the reason Once again, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan will tell us now the reason why Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala had chosen this ayah as a proof amongst the proofs in this chapter. لأن فيها الرد على المشركين الذين يدعون الأنبياء والصالحين يطلبون منهم الشفاعة. This ayah is a refutation against the polytheists, who they call upon the prophets and the righteous people, seeking from them intercession in this life. See, they go to them, these are people who are dead, and they ask them to intercede for them. So these are people, they believe that this man, they are dead. Okay? And they are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then they say, no, well, but there is a difference. He's not just any man. These are used to be righteous people, and they have a makana with Allah. Of course, the anbiya have a great makana with Allah. Have a great position with Allah. The angels have a great position with Allah. Those righteous men who were righteous in their life, and they were obedient to Allah, and they were upon righteousness, and they stay away from the haram, they have, insha'Allah ta'ala, they have a great position with Allah, because Allah promised the muttaqeen, Allah promised the muhsineen, Allah promised the righteous people, the good doers. Allah promised them many things. High ranks in paradise. Some of them, they will be admitted with the prophets and the messengers. جعل الله وإياكم منهم. Ameen. So that's their shubha. They're like, we just come and call upon them so they can intercede. So they can intercede for us on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If as though these people, they say, look, my dua is nothing. And Allah command the servants to call upon him. So you make the dua. This is the proper way. You make the dua for yourself. You have a mother or father that is sick, you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your sujood. Okay? In tahajjud, while you're traveling, when it rains, while you're fasting, when you break your fast, yes, you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, oh Allah, cure my mother. Oh Allah, guide her. Oh Allah, give me this. Oh Allah, and the like. But the problem is that these people, they go to somebody else. They want to take wasita, intermediaries between them and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can't do that. This is not from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're learning from this, because sometimes this is a shubha that some of the polytheists they bring. And if you don't have the answer, you're stuck. If you go to, because some of them, it's easy. You say to them, you're calling upon other than Allah. This is shirk. Subhanallah. These are human beings. And they say, A'udhu astaghfirullah. We didn't know. Some people, they're on another level. They're like, what are you talking about, man? We don't worship them. We know they created being. We know they're just human beings like us. They didn't create anything. They dead. We know that. You want to tell us something we don't know? So what are you going to do now? No, you said that's still shirk. Because of this ayah, and because of this, and because of that, inshallah ta'ala. Because certain people, keep in mind, certain people, they just upon shirk because that's all they know. They grow up around it. That's it, that's all they know. And they think that's the right way. Well, that's why those who have good intentions, alhamdulillah, good hearts, you talk to them nicely, connect them to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if Allah wants good for them, they will get it immediately. But you have to try. ما يستفاد من الآية. The benefits, number one, the benefits that the Shaykh has deducted from this verse, verse 51 of Surah Al-An'am. أولا الرد على المشركين. I'm going to say it in Arabic, see if somebody can translate it in English, okay? Even if you have to help each other, a couple of you, inshallah, okay? You're going to try. You willing to try? Tayyib. الرد على المشركين الذين يتقربون إلى الأنبياء والصالحين يطلبون منهم الشفاعة. First of all, I want five brothers. Each one of you give me one word in Arabic that you have, you caught from this. Okay? I'm going to say it again. الرد على المشركين الذين يتقربون إلى الأنبياء والصالحين يطلبون منهم الشفاعة. Okay, who's your five? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. نعم. حسن.
Reputation.
شيخ. Arabic.
Oh.
Arabic. Arabia. No English. Arabic.
الرد.
الرد. نعم. عبد الله. No, you were in an area, you were in a house, but in the wrong room. No, يتقربون. No, not مقربون. Yeah. يتقربون. فعل. That's a verb. You were giving me noun. No. المشركين. يطلبون. أحسنت. يطلبون. الصالحين أين ما شاء الله. So who can put it all together? What does it mean? So what is the idea? الرد على المشركين الذين يتقربون الذين يتقربون إلى الأنبياء والصالحين يطلبون منهم الشفاعة. Who wanna try? نعم محمد.
Reputation on the mushrikins that they get close to prophets and the righteous seeking from them intercession.
أحسنت. Who can repeat? What does it mean? الرد على المشركين. What does it mean? الرد على المشركين. Ahsant. This ayah is a refutation against the polytheist. What does it mean? That for me and you, we can use it. But we have to use it the right way. We use it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ud'u ila rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'id al hasan. Call to the way of your Lord. Call to your Lord. Meaning call to what your Lord loves. And that way he has legislated. And from the things you call to Allah is Tawheed. That's the main one. Because without Tawheed is nothing. That's the foundation. So call to your Lord, meaning call to the Tawheed, warn against shirk, bil hikmah, wisdom. وَهِمَا هِيَ الْحِكْمَةِ وَدْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَكَانِهِ. That you have to put the right things in their right places. Yes, you get that. So you have to have the right ayah to the right event. I'm doing ayahs from the Quran. And then they will be asking you what this ayah has to do with this. If you don't know what to do with this, that's the speech of Allah. Now you want to switch the topic. He didn't tell you this is the speech of Allah. He knows the speech of Allah. Is this ayah really a proof that has something to do with what this man is doing or not? See, that's the issue. Hikmah. So that's what the Shaykh is doing, using the hikmah. Naam, is the refutation against the polytheist? What they do here? Polytheists do many things. What does one do in this ayah?
Seek nearness.
They seek nearness
to the prophets and the righteous.
Prophets and the righteous? How they seek that nearness?
The karabuna, they seek nearness, yatlabuna, asking and
intercession.
Okay.
Through the intercession. Okay, because this is the key word of this chapter, okay? Barakallahu fikum. Number two, مشروعية الوعظ والتذكير بيوم القيامة. مشروعية الوعظ. There's only five words in here. Five other brothers, okay? Inshallah. right wing. Start with you here, and then we go to you here, left, okay, because we have a third one. All right, right here, this side. You got five brothers. One, two, Muhammad, you're three. You wake up. Sorry, Jamal, you're four. Jilani, you're five. All right, Hassan. All right, Nasser, we got you. We got five people here, all right? The other ones, you can breathe now, alhamdulillah. For a while. طيب مشروعية الوعظ والتذكير بيوم القيامة
مشروعية
لا لا just the Arabic words now مشروعية الوعظ
والتذكير
بيوم
القيامة
أين أنت ولا جيلاني الحمد لله أحسنت إن شاء الله على القيامة جيلاني what were you gonna say القيامة أحسنت ما شاء الله that's good طيب مشروعية الوعظ والتذكير بيوم القيامة who can say that all in once in Arabic
مشروعية الوعظ والتذكير بيوم القيامة
بيومي بيومي not اليوم مضاف
بيوم القيامة
نعم حسن Ahsant. Now, who translate? What does it mean, mashru'iyya? It is legislated. It is from our legislation. Because it has to do with sharia. Al-wa'ad.
The way.
The way. Admonition.
Admonition. That's al-wa'ad. Tadhkir. That's what is tadhkir, reminding. Yawm al-qiyamah. Is known, right? Where is Yawm al-Qiyamah? The Day of Judgment. Allah make it easy for us. So who can put it together?
Arabic.
English.
It's like for us to be reminded by the and admonished by the Yawm
al-Qiyamah. Ahsant. No, it is legislated to warn the people and admonish the people by mentioning Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yeah, why? Because that's the greatest admonition. Al-Yawm al-Akhir. Subhanallah. That's why our noble scholars, our noble scholars, Hafidhahum Allah, they say, in many narrations, this is a good fa'idah, this is a very good benefit now. In many narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, من كان منكم يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. In many narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, whoever amongst you believe in Allah and the last day. So the ulama, they says, why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose the last day? He could say, من كان منكم يؤمن بالله وملائكته. Right or wrong. Whoever believe in Allah and the angels. Because اليوم الآخر, one of the pillars of what?
Faith.
Give me another pillar.
Prophets.
The prophets. من كان منكم يؤمن بالله والأنبياء. Whoever believes in Allah and the prophets. Okay, give me another pillar of iman. Al-Qadr, Kutub. But the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned this. Al-Yawm al-Akhir Allah. لماذا? Why? Same reason, so we can be admonished. Because when you remember that day, and if you know what's going to take place on that day, what are you going to do now?
Get yourself straight.
You're going to get yourself straight. And what else?
Get ready for it.
Because we're human. We ain't no stranger to any of this. If somebody has a court date, what they do? It's very important that court date. Can't miss it. What they do with that date? But before they prepare for it, what they do with it?
They write it down.
They remember it. They memorize it. They write down where? And put it where?
On the calendar.
Everywhere. On the fridge, in his bedroom, computer desk. Right or wrong? Call his mother, grandmother, remember, I gotta be there on March the 17th. I gotta be there on June the 46th. All right? Whatever. All right? I got to be there. I said that on purpose because people, man, they panic. And they be saying anything. They're like, no, it's not that. You mean the other day? Subhanallah. And some people, they have different dates to remember. But we have to remember one. Just one. One day. But that day is unlike any other days. Unlike any others. That's the day that there is no day after it. I say, ain't no other way that you're going to stand. If somebody missed the Jannah, find himself where? In the hellfire. Ain't no another day later on or triage or like here in this dunya, people, they what they do? They yastanif.
Postpone.
Yeah, postpone. Here can be postponed. Yom al-Qiyamah, that day is not postponed. Number two, if the judge says take him, he got life, he got 30 years, he got to pay $50,000, he got this, got that. So now some people, they can do what?
Appeal.
There ain't no appeals up there. Mm-hmm. Can I have a lawyer or not?
Nope.
No, in this life.
Oh, in this life, yeah.
Huh?
You can get
many lawyers.
Yeah.
You know?
You make sure you get a good
if they can afford it, right?
Yeah.
Well, on Yom Al-Qiyamah, no lawyers. Nothing. No family members, nothing. Witnesses or not?
Yes.
Yes, yourself. Your skin. Your hands, your feet, your tongue. Ain't nobody going to come from Alabama to witness against you. No, you, yourself. Hey, Naam, Ya Akhwan. So that's why it is legislated, to remind one another, to admonish one another with Yom Al-Qiyamah. I said, if somebody have Iman, he hear Yom Al-Qiyamah, that's it, that's all he wants to hear. He ain't going to argue with you. I'm going to argue with you, so he's going to make some preparations. Number three, أن المؤمنين هم الذين ينتفعون بالموعظة. أن المؤمنين The left wing here. أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَنْتَفِعُونَ بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ Now, any words you call? أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نعم بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ أحسنت بالموعظة, the last one. عبد المجيد المؤمنينَ نعم أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نعم أحسنت هم الذين ينتفعون What does it mean? أن المؤمنين هم الذين ينتفعون بالموعظة Who can translate? أن المؤمنين هم الذين ينتفعون بالموعظة نعم
And that believers can benefit from the admonition
Not can Change can
Will
Not will
The ones.
Ahsant. They are the ones.
Oh, they are the ones.
Ayna. But the believers are the ones who benefit from the admonition. Allahu Akbar. See? Iman is very important. Sometimes you keep talking to somebody. Jumu'ah is admonition or not?
Yes.
There's many admonitions. Qala Allah, Qala Rasulullah, Qala Abu Bakr, Uthman. And people go out there still lit a cigarette. Still fight one another. Still backbite. Still. The khutbah was on the Yom Al-Qiyamah. Do what Allah commands. Do what's pleasing to Allah. Stay away from the haram. They go and dive into it. Now somebody who has iman and the iman benefit them, right there while he's listening to the khutbah, he's subhanAllah, thinking about his life. Man, this man is saying some good stuff. SubhanAllah, he's talking about me. No? Yes, subhanAllah, it's a lot of things they do is not right. And that person is going to go out and he's going to sit. He's like, look, man, this is more important than anything else, than my business, than everything. Subhanallah. The only way I can be alright on Yawm al-Qiyamah if I obey Allah in this life. But I'm disobeying Him in many things. My earnings is haram. I'm mixing haram and halal. See? Did he? And then it's even if better if two people or three are talking and admonishing and advising one another. And then one the other say, did he say something about talking about people? And he brought a hadith that on Yawm al-Qiyamah people will come at you and take your good deeds? Yeah, the hadith he mentioned, mashallah, those who talk about people, not just those who talk, those who slander, those who take properties, those who cause damage to others, this and this, na'am. If they die on that and they never make it up for those people and ask their forgiveness and to pardon them, they will see them on Yawm al-Qiyamah and they will take from their good deeds. And if they don't have good deeds, they will take from the other people who they wronged from their evil deeds. Now, can you imagine now, you worked hard for your cash and you're saving it, somebody come and try to take your 10 years of saving. What do you do? Jesus is going to say, oh, go ahead, man, take it. Somebody just came to your driveway, whatever, and he's like, he's hauling your car, your truck that you go to work, you take your children to I don't know where, you come to the masjid, and somebody is just like, you peeped from the window and you see a truck, what do you call it?
A tow truck.
And they just, and what do you say? Just, hey, what you doing, guy? Oh, we're taking your truck, man. Oh, go ahead. I don't care. Is it the case?
No.
No, person's going to say, what do you mean you're taking my truck, man? That's my truck. Oh, you know, I have no right to take my truck. But guess what? On Yawm al-Qiyamah, those people will take those people's deeds. They will. So it's very serious, Ikhwan. That's why you hear the ayats, be quiet. How many ayats Allah command us to be silent? Don't say that which is good. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, say that which is good or be silent. Yeah. Because if you don't say anything, ain't nobody has nothing against you. كما في القاعدة لا ينسب لساكت قوله. Somebody who's silent, can you attribute to them any statements? Somebody was next to you for half an hour, didn't open his mouth. He didn't say a word to you, but he was remembering Allah. Alright? So can you say, oh, alhamdulillah, brother was here and he said this and this. Can you say that? The man didn't open his mouth. Likewise, Ikhwan. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he says to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, أمسك عليك هذا. Guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was amazed. He said, subhanAllah, are we gonna be held accountable as related to what we say, O Messenger of Allah? Prophet said to him, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَادٍ. May your mother lose you. This is the expression that the Arabs they used to use, meaning I thought you know this better, man. You should know this. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, mentioning, highlighting how dangerous the tongue is, and keep talking and talking and talking, and how important for us to guard our tongues and to be careful to what we say and to examine what we say before we say it. Because once you say it, it's out there already. You can't retract it. You can't take it out of people's ears and minds. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, and what is that will actually lead the people be dragged on their faces into the hellfire more than that which they earn through their tongues? Aina. Al-lisan. Subhanallah. Ma asghara. حجم اللسان وما أعظم خطره على الإنسان. This tongue is small, little flesh, but the danger that can cause is tremendous. كم من كلمة فرقت أمة. كلمة واحدة. One statement destroy a whole nation. Because somebody said one thing and people add to it and this, forget about it. كم كلمة فرقت بين زوجين. Sometimes a marriage is destroyed. Many years. Because one statement he said, one statement she said. That is not appropriate to say. Two friends, for years, they love one another, care about one another. No, they enemies. Why? Statements. One statement he said. Allah al-musta'an, ya akhwan. Naam. So to guard your tongue, ya akhwan. فَأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَنْتَفِعُونَ بِالْمَوْعِدَةِ. The true believers, they are the one who are admonished and benefit from the admonition. And therefore they act upon that. They don't just like, hey man, yeah, subhanAllah, you hear that ayah? And then gotta go and go with his plan. No, he benefit by put it to practice, by correcting ourselves. عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ استغفر الله. Yeah, that was wrong. First to admit. نعم بارك الله فيكم. We gotta read this quickly. What time is the shuruq? 7:45. طيب, we'll read this quickly, inshallah. قال وقوله تعالى قل لله الشفاعة جميعا وقوله من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. The Shaykh mentioned the other ayats in Surah Al-Zumar and Surah Al-Baqarah. Say, to Allah belong all intercession. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in the famous ayat Al-Kursi, who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? Okay? المعنى الإجمالي للآيتين. Here, first of all, the Sheikh says, لله الشفاعة, intercession belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why you ask it for somebody else? Can you imagine you wanna ask somebody something, but you know the owner, but you go to somebody else? No, it belongs to Allah, so that why are they asking it from somebody else? In the general meaning, قال يأمر الله نبيه أن يقول الذين يتعلقون على الأولياء والصالحين يطلبون منهم الشفاعة ليس لمن تدعونهم من الشفاعة شيء إنما هي كلها ملك لله لا يستطيع أحد شفاعة لأحد إلا بإذنه سبحانه وتعالى فلا أحد يملك أن يتكلم يوم القيامة إلا إذا أذن الله سبحانه وتعالى له في الكلام. The general meaning of these two verses, Allah commands the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his Prophet, to say to those whose hearts are touched with righteous people, and therefore they ask intercession from them, tell them, those you call upon, they don't own anything from shafa'ah. The shafa'ah, the intercession, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one has the ability to intercede on behalf of anyone else without Allah's permission. Rather, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, no one will speak without Allah's permission. No one can speak unless if Allah give permission to that person to speak. Ayna. Munasabatul ayatayn lilbab. The reason why the Shaykh has introduced these two chapters in, or these two verses into this chapter, قال أن فيه من رد على المشركين الذين اتخذوا الشفعاء من دون الله من الملائكة والأنبياء والأصنام المصورة على صور الصالحين يظنون أنهم يملكون من الشفاعة شيئا فيستطيعون أن يشفعوا عند الله سبحانه وتعالى بغير إذنه. The reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى chose these two ayahs as a proof in this chapter of intercession, because both of them contain a refutation, a clear refutation against the polytheists. whom they choose intercessors for themselves besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the angels. Some of them they choose angels as intercessors for them. Some they choose prophets. Some even they go choose idols, pictures of some righteous people who they died, thinking or believing that the angels or prophets or those dead people in their graves, those idols, pictures of some righteous people and the like, can intercede, or they own the intercession. And therefore they can intercede for them even without Allah's permission. So this is a clear refutation against them. So if they say that what we learned today, if those people they say, look, we know that these people are dead. Okay? And we don't worship them. We know they don't create anything. So why are you calling upon them? No, only to intercede. Because they were righteous. So you tell them, well, guess what? Allah tells us in the Quran that no one intercedes except with Allah's permission. Who tell you that this man has a permission? See? This is aql. You tell them, okay, you know that intercession belongs to Allah. How? Tell them in Surah Az-Zumar, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Allah tells us that shafa'ah belongs to Him alone. No one share with Him in this one. They're like, oh, where is it? Let me see. You're right. Ah, subhanAllah. Yeah, but they're still righteous people. Because they may say to you, but Allah says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. There are people, they're going to intercede by Allah's permission. Say, okay, how do you know that this person got permission from Allah? The aql. Barakallahu feekum. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. نعم. So use the aql with them. Tell them, okay, alright. Because certain people, like I said, you give them an ayah, it's enough. Some people, you have to break it down for them, explain to them according to their level. You tell them, okay, so now you know that the shafa'ah is only for Allah, right? Yes. And yes, there are certain people that will intercede, but by Allah's permission only. If Allah didn't give permission, they will not intercede. Yes, where? It is the Quran. So now, how do you know that this man who's dead has permission from Allah? Can they prove it? No. Tell them, okay, we'll leave it alone. Leave it alone. Ask the one who have it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. ما يستفاد من الآيتين. Some of the benefits. Number one. الرد على المشركين الذين يطلبون الشفاعة من المخلوقين. الرد على المشركين الذين يطلبون الشفاعة من المخلوقين. This ayat also, amongst others, they contain a clear refutation against the polytheists, who they seek intercession from who? From the creation. Anyone who seek intercession from the creation, these ayats can be proved as a refutation against them, to make it clear to them. Because when you go and talk to the people, you want to talk to them and call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to just go to someone and say, you know what you're doing is wrong. Why? Because I said so. Can't do that. Can't do that. Or what you're doing is wrong. Why? Well, because it's wrong. That's it? That's it, because it's wrong? People are not going to listen. Now, before you tell the people this is wrong, you're going to go, alhamdulillah, you're going to use a hikmah. How? Just go to someone doing that, and you said to them, قال الله تعالى قل لله الشفاعة جميعا قال الله تعالى قال الله تعالى. You don't even have to tell them, listen, man, you're a mushrik. You don't tell them that. Now you just recite some ayats. If they have aql, those people, they're like, wait a minute, repeat the ayah. or somebody, let's say that's all they need. They need to need the ayah to hear it. Some others, they may not. They're like, "Akhi, what is, are you reading this ayah for me, right?" Yeah. Did they have something to do with what I'm doing? Yes. Or how? This. And this is how you start the dialogue and you connect the people to the ayats of Allah, the ahadith, if there is any ahadith. And if they want good and they're serious about themselves, they're going to like, "Subhanallah, Jazakallah khairan, Subhanallah, me and you, we're going to do work." Now I know a lot of people doing this in my family, in my tribe, in my village. Let's go do some work for the sake of Allah. I know. But the problem, some people, you find two people, alhamdulillah, Allah saved them from this shirk, and they know it. And then when they pass with somebody doing it, they start laughing at them. You see this mushrikeen. A'udhu billah. Astaghfirullah. What about you? Now you got to humble yourself and talk to the people about it. Likewise, if you're somebody acting upon an innovation and a bid'ah, especially the laymen, we're not talking about the heads of innovation, who they know. We're talking about the laymen. You don't just laugh at them and say, "You see this mubtadi'ah?" No, you got to go and talk to them in a nice way again. Tell them ayats, a hadith about the innovations, and explain it to them. Tell them this is the deen of Allah, and it's taken from the Quran, from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Anything that it is not from this deen is an innovation, and Allah is not going to accept it. And how can you work all your life hard doing this, knowing that Allah is not going to accept from you? And give him an example. Tell him, "Subhanallah, you're working a whole month doing some work, knowing that you're not going to get paid for. Why are you not getting paid? Because you didn't show up? Now you show up. You did a lot of work, but you were doing it the wrong way. You're not doing it with the norms, following the norms of that job. So you're not going to get paid." Tell him, "Subhanallah, if you don't do it according to what Allah says and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to Sunnah, you're not going to get rewarded for it." And you bring them ayats, bring them a hadith, inshallah ta'ala. Number two, أن الشفاعة ملك لله وحده فيجب طلبها منه وحده. Intercession exclusively belongs to Allah. All of it. Therefore, it must be sought from Him only. That's it. So this shafa exclusively belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it must. It's not a choice. "Oh, you want to seek from Allah? It's okay." It's a must that everybody seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Number three, بيان عظمة الله وكبريائه وخضوع جميع الخلق لسلطانه. That Allah is the most great and the most superior. He is above everything. And all of the creation are submissive to His command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, في الآية الثانية إثبات الشفاعة لمن أذن الله له بها. In the second ayah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, this ayah affirm شفاعة, intercession, but only for those that Allah given permission. Those that Allah given permission, they will intercede. If they don't give him permission, they will not intercede. We'll continue, inshallah ta'ala, in the next class, not this Saturday, because I'm going to be traveling to Florida, inshallah ta'ala. Sunday, the Saturday after that, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanak Allahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima katheera.